8 reasons I want to go to heaven. And hopefully some of them will be some of the reasons that you want to go to heaven. After we're finished with this lesson, you can turn that outline over and make your own list on the back of the reasons that you want to go to heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, Paul writes, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." When we look at that scripture, there's one particular thing that I want us to really notice in verse 2. He says, we are earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our houses from heaven. And when he speaks of the tabernacle of our body and how when we go to heaven, we'll have a spiritual body. But notice he says, we are earnestly desiring. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, Am I earnestly desiring to go to heaven, to get rid of this body and to get a new body and to be in heaven? Is that really what I desire? We talked this morning about being rebels and rebelling against the ways of the world. If we're rebelling against the ways of the world, we're going to desire to go to heaven. But if we're too intertwined and too enmeshed in the things of this life and of this world, we're not going to want to leave them. If we love the things of this world too much, we won't want to give them up. And it's understandable for children and young people that don't understand the problems and troubles. Oh, they like to play and they enjoy, puppy dogs and kitty cats and video games and television shows. And they really, they have everything they need. They get fed and they have a mom and dad that take care of them or whatever. And they don't worry about those things. And they're not in any big hurry to leave. They're enjoying life. But as we grow up and as we grow older, more and more each day, we need to be setting our sights on heaven and looking less and less at the things of this life and of this world. So why do you want to go to heaven? What is it about heaven that makes you desire it? Is there? Like I said, some people I think seem like, even though they claim to be Christians, well, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Well, why? Well, I don't know. One person said, well, I can't wait to get to heaven because then if somebody's poor, I can just pick up some of the pavement off those streets of gold and give it to them. They kind of missed the point. We're not going to be poor in heaven. There's not going to be anybody poor in heaven. That's one of the wonderful things about heaven. There won't be anybody struggling to pay the bills at the end of the month. We won't ever have a situation where we run out of money before we run out of month, as the saying goes. We're not going to have those problems up there. They've missed the point. And maybe some, I think, may be disappointed if when we get to heaven there aren't literal physical streets of gold and big mansions that look like that. It's kind of sad, isn't it? That God had to use gold and jewels and pearls and all these kinds of things to impress us enough to make us want to go to heaven. When that's really, it wouldn't matter if heaven looked like a desert as long as we got to be there with God and to enjoy the benefits of heaven. It's not about what it looks like. It wouldn't matter if it was an old run-down log cabin or a wood shack if we got to be there with Him. So we focus on the physical things, but God knew that people are all about what they consider valuable. So he described heaven in a way that would impress physical people. But it's sad that he had to describe it that way, because that says something about our mindset. That if he described it truly as it really is, a spiritual place and not a physical place, a lot of people probably wouldn't have been very interested. And that's sad. Well, let's look at these eight things. I want to go to heaven, first of all, to renew relationships with brothers and sisters I miss because they have gone on ahead. Now, that'll be one of the wonderful things, getting to meet up with people that we hadn't seen for years. You know, still, I hear people talk about folks that were in the church when they were converted. And, oh, I remember Sister So-and-so, or I remember Brother So-and-so. And, boy, I miss them, you know. And, oh, what wonderful thing it was, you know. And they taught me this, or they told me that. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to get to see those people again? To get to renew those relationships. And probably on better terms than we had with them before. You know, sometimes when we were young Christians, new converts, and may have been stumbling along, and we may not have gotten along too well with some of those faithful saints. But hopefully we've grown to the point that we'll have a better relationship with them. And you know, that's exactly what the Bible teaches us about one of the things that will happen. Genesis 25 and verse 8, when it talks about Abraham dying, it says he gave up the ghost and he died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. Now sometimes we think about, well, that means he was buried with Sarah. Well, that's not what the Bible's really talking about when it talks about him being gathered to his people. It means he lived on. Remember, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus said that means he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they're still alive. When Abraham died, he got to go and be with his people, those other people who had been faithful to God. And when Isaac died, the same thing, Jacob. And it speaks of that in some, when it talks about some of the kings, some of them it just says they buried them. That's kind of sad. But others, it says, you know, they were gathered to their people. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14, Paul tells us, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about when Jesus comes back to get us. He says, those who have already died, Jesus is going to bring them with him. God's going to have them ready to come back to see us and greet us. And then notice verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What a comforting thought that we'll get to see those folks again. God is going to bring those that have fallen asleep back with Jesus when He returns. And Paul points out that those of us who are still alive, we're not going to stop that. We're not going to precede them. We're not going to prevent them. We're going to meet them in the air. Those that are dead, they're going to rise up first. And then we're going to meet them. Second thing, I want to go to heaven so I can be free from the fear of death. You know, from the time we are old enough to know what death is, to know what death means, there are times in our lives where we're afraid of it. It's a fear. Now, we don't hopefully go through day in and day out worrying about dying. But from the time we first realize what it means to die, maybe it's because a friend dies. Maybe it's because a grandparent died when we were young. Whatever it is, and we first realize what that means, we're kind of afraid of that death. And as we get older and we get sick sometimes and we think, oh, this may be it. I may not get better. And we're afraid of that. But in heaven, we won't ever have to fear that again. What a wonderful thing to be free of, the fear of death. Never have to worry about it again. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It's going to be destroyed. He's going to take death and cast it into the lake of fire right there along with the devil. And those of us who get to go to heaven with Him will never have to experience that again. Now those who don't will experience eternal death. And that's certainly a sad thing. That's something we should be afraid of. We don't want to have anything to do with that. Jesus on several occasions talked about life and Him being life to those who come to Him. In John chapter 6 and verses 48 through 51, and also in John chapter 11 and verse number 26, we'll start with the latter and go to the former. Verse 26, He says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe it that if we believe in Him, we'll never die? We'll never have to face that. In chapter 6, He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus came so that we could have life. Eternal life. Never ending. And what a wonderful thing it will be to experience that. And never to be afraid of death again. Third reason that I want to go to heaven is to be with my Heavenly Father and Savior. To be with my Father and my Savior. That should be one of the things that we all look forward to. Do you remember paradise in Eden after Adam and Eve had been created? There's a passage that in chapter 3 and verse 8, after they had sinned, there's a passage that kind of lets you know just what they gave up. Verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have walked in the garden with the Lord? You know, I think there's a song in the songbook that says, I come to the garden alone, you know, and we say, there's another song, My God and I Go in the Fields Together. Oh. Now, I know we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We hear Him through His Word and we speak to Him in prayer, but oh, what it'd be like to actually be there with Him in His presence. Something that we cannot do here on earth. The Bible tells us no man can see God and live. We can't do that here on earth. Adam and Eve could. They walked and talked with the Lord up till that point. And He came for His evening stroll with them. To walk and talk with them in the garden. But because they had sinned, they had broken that fellowship with Him. That's going to be restored in heaven. We'll get to go back to that kind of relationship where we can walk and talk with the Lord. To finally get a chance to try to understand the concept of the three in one. To really understand how Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Wow, to get to try to understand that. And to develop a relationship with them beyond what is humanly possible here on this earth. To get to expand that relationship on a spiritual realm so much beyond what we could ever imagine here on earth with our limited capacities. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, sometimes maybe we think that Jesus and God are going to be far off in some place. You know, it's kind of like the president. Well, you know, we know, we see the president on TV, but how many of us have ever met him? How many of us have ever talked? And we think sometimes that God's going to be way far off, kind of like that. Oh, he's going to be important, but he's going to be way far away. No. We're going to get to be right there with him. We're going to get to see him and talk to him and he with us, and we'll have fellowship with him, and we'll get to admire him and worship him. Jesus also said in his prayer to the Father in John 17 and verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." But Jesus asked his Father, "I want my followers, my believe, those that believe me, I want them to be able to be with me where I am." Right there with God in heaven, with Jesus. But then fourth, I want to go to heaven to meet people from the Bible. You know, sometimes we wonder about things and we, you know, we discuss things about what it would have been like or what, you know, what so-and-so thought. And, you know, I remember the story told about the student and the teacher that were discussing Jonah. And the student said, I wonder what it was like to get swallowed by that big whale. And the teacher didn't believe in God, said, "Nah, you know, no such thing." He said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah what it was like to get swallowed by that whale." And the teacher said, "Well, what if Jonah didn't make it to heaven?" "Yeah, you can ask him then." You know, sometimes, even though we don't know for sure of which of all of the Bible characters, which ones were faithful and will be there and which ones won't. Some we kind of have a good idea about, and others we kind of have a good idea they won't be there based on their actions in life. But we don't know for sure who will and won't be there, but we can imagine. We know from reading the Bible which ones were faithful to God, which ones lived a good life, and are probably going to be there. And you think about some of those that we'll get to meet and get to ask them what it was like and how their life was and the greatest. Individuals. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. Jesus says, "Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." There's three we know are going to be there. Jesus said they're going to be there. He said, many are going to come from all over. And they're going to come and they're going to get to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What would it be like to just sit down around a table or around, you know, around a chair? And I, you know, as a spiritual place, but still, you know, the idea, just get together and listen to them tell those stories. Ask Abraham, what did it feel like when you were raising that knife up over Isaac? Ask him, can you show, reenact, what was that like when the angel stopped you and then you saw that ram over there in the bushes? What was that like? And ask Isaac, what did you think when your father started to tie you up to put you on that altar? We can find out some of those things. Ask them first person about those things. We'll know those people. They'll know each other. We'll know each other. That's one of the wonderful things. You know, sometimes people think, well, we'll be spirits. We won't recognize. No, that's not true. To them, Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter, when he kind of woke up and saw who... He said, well, let's build these three tabernacles, one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He recognized Moses and Elijah. He knew who they were. Now, I don't know, since he had never seen the Ten Commandments that Hollywood produced, I don't know how he recognized Moses. But he knew him. He knew, that's Moses. He didn't pull out his wallet and look at the snapshot, you know. He didn't have one of the Bibles with pictures in it. But somehow he knew that was Moses. And he knew that was Elijah. He recognized them. Now, I don't know how. But we're going to be able to recognize these two. Even though they've died and they've gone on, they're in the spiritual form, we'll still be able to recognize them. And when we get there, we'll be able to recognize each other. We won't have a body like we have here, but we'll have some kind of a body. We'll have a spiritual body. And we'll be able to recognize each other. But imagine some of the things. To ask Adam what he thought the first time he saw Eve. Was she pretty, Adam? What did you think? The first time you saw another human being and realized she was the only woman in the world for you. What did you think? You know, to ask Noah, what was it like living on that floating zoo for a year? How bad did it stink? And have to clean up all that. And you know what was that? But to see all those different animals, and to be able to ask David, you know, how, show us how you used that slingshot. What did you do to get that giant with that little? It's about parting the Red Sea and some of those things that he did. With the rod and the miracles that God performed through him. To ask Daniel, you know, were you scared when you were in that lion's den? With those lions, were you afraid at all? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What was it like to be right there in the middle of that fire and not even get singed, not even smell like smoke after you came out? What was that like? To get a first-person account. You know, the story is told about the fellow who had been part of a big flood. And he died and he went to heaven and he asked Peter at the gate, well, can I get folks together? I want to tell my story about the flood I survived. And Peter said, well, you're welcome to tell your story, but just remember that Noah's going to be in the audience. You know, a little flood that we might be involved in, some little event. How's that going to come? Oh, to hear them tell those things firsthand. How exciting that'll be. Imagine asking David to lead the Lord is my shepherd, to lead us in song. I read the Psalms and I wonder, you know, all of they were songs. That's the Jewish song book right there. The book of Psalms, those 150 songs, well, less than that because a couple of them are repeats. But you know, those songs that are in there. And I wonder, what did it sound like when they sang those in the temple? What would that song have sounded like the way it was composed? I know we have a version of The Lord is My Shepherd. We've got the words and we sing it to a tune that somebody made. But I wonder what tune David put with it. He's the one that wrote it. What was his tune? I wonder about those things. To ask some of those who were healed, what was it like when Jesus healed you? To ask Lazarus, what was it like to be dead and then raised back to life? And then, what was that like? Because most of us, you know, we won't have experienced that coming back to earth thing again. Even though we'll experience the resurrection, it'll be different than that. To ask Peter to preach the rest of that sermon that you preached in Acts 2. We only have a portion of it. It says, with many other words he exhorted them. Well, I want to hear the rest of that sermon, Peter. Preach the rest of that. Let's hear that one more time. Oh. That you said there. and what they mean. Could you, go through those a little bit with us? There are so many things to get to meet these people that we've admired, that have been our heroes, that we've looked up to and that we've followed in their footsteps trying to get to heaven, and then to get to meet them for the first time. I mean, you think about, if you've ever met someone who was a hero of yours here on earth, how exciting is that? You had some sort of a fascination with a person. It may have been a sports star. It may be somebody, an actor or actress or something. And sometimes people are very disappointed when they actually meet those folks. But I don't think we'll be disappointed when we meet any of those people from the Bible. I don't think there will be a case where we'll say, "Boy, I wish I hadn't run across him today. I wish I hadn't met up with her." Oh, we'll be so excited to get to meet these people from the Bible. I'm looking forward to that. Fifth reason that I want to go to heaven is so I can be free of the suffering in this life. We talked about being free of the fear of death. To me, it's not my own death so much that I fear as much as it is the loss of others. I think, and I had never done it, so I may be wrong, but I think I could handle my own death pretty well. But I don't, what if I had to, what about when, and some of you have been through this, my parents are still alive. When they, how am I going to be able to handle that? What if my wife goes before I do? How am I going, in heaven we won't ever have to worry about those kind of things happening again. We won't have to lose anyone again like we have in this life. We won't get sick again. I can remember some pretty miserable times being sick. Up all night, couldn't keep anything down, just miserable. Aches and pains, couldn't sleep, couldn't be awake, couldn't get comfortable anywhere. All those kinds of things that go on when you're sick and suffering. The pain, the sorrow, the sadness of this life. All of those former things will pass away and all things will be new. And we won't ever have to worry about those things again. And I know that has to be appealing to us more and more as we get older and get sick more often and struggle. And every morning it's hard to wake up and get up and move and get going. And oh, what it'll be like to trade this old body in for a new one. To be free of the suffering of this life. No more temptation. Oh, Satan won't be there. He won't be there to try to trip me up and cause me to stumble like he is every day of my life here. No stress. Won't have to worry about making enough money to pay the bills. Won't have to worry about getting up to go to work at a certain time. Those kinds of things. No deadlines. Just heaven with God. Sixth thing, another reason I want to go to heaven is to claim my inheritance. An inheritance is a wonderful thing. I was quite surprised the last time I went to visit my parents to find out that I received a small. Nobody in my family has ever been very wealthy. But as a result of my grandmother receiving an inheritance from someone else, and then she left it for us. And of course, as many grandkids as she had, it got spread pretty thin. But I got a little bit of an inheritance. I was surprised. Where'd this come from? An inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? Well, it's a nice surprise, but I'm expecting this inheritance. I'm looking forward to getting this inheritance, getting to claim it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at his appearing," at that day. "And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." He's got a crown for everybody. That's not just a measly little check that we might get. That's a crown. What a wonderful thing. Something to really look forward to. Romans chapter 8 and verses 16 and 17 says that we're the children of God, and if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's something wonderful. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Peter talks about the wonderful blessings, the hope that we have by the resurrection of Jesus, an inheritance that's incorruptible. You know, that little inheritance that I got from my grandmother will soon be spent. I hadn't spent it quite yet. I mean, I just got it a week or so ago. But it won't last long. It'll be gone. I'll find something to spend it on. But this is an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It won't fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. Just waiting. Can't be spent up. It'll be yours forever to enjoy. In verse 6 he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. You know, sometimes we think, well, we shouldn't focus on what we're going to get. We should do it because, we should. But we should greatly rejoice in our inheritance that we're going to receive in heaven. That's one of the things to look forward to. That's not the only thing. We're not doing this to try to gain financially, because it's not going to be a financial type inheritance there. It's not going to work that way. But it is something that we can look forward to. A place to live forever. Never have to pay for it. Because the price has already been paid, and we just inherit it. Then the seventh reason I want to go to heaven is to be able to worship God without distraction. You know, as much as we can enjoy coming together to worship God here on earth, and it certainly is a wonderful thing to sing and pray and study God's Word, there are always distractions. A minute ago, my tummy rumbled, but I'm already hungry. You know, not quite supper time yet, but I'm already, ready to eat some. And that's a distraction. As much as we love little children and we want as many children in the church to come to church and with us as we can, they can still be a distraction. When that little baby cries in the back and everybody turns around to see what's going on, you know, when they do those things, they get up and run around the pews and distract them, they can be a distraction. There are a lot of things that are distractions. That clock on the back wall or the watch on your wrist can be a distraction to you. None of those things are going to be a problem in heaven. We won't have to worry about, we're going to get out in time for lunch. I don't want my roast to burn or anything like that. It's not going to be an issue. We can just be there and worship God in spirit and in truth and never have to worry about being interrupted. The phone won't ring. I think that's about 3 weeks in a row, right in the middle of the Lord's Supper, the phone rings. Oh, what a distraction. When we're trying to focus our minds on thinking about Christ and the cross. And then that phone rings and breaks the concentration. And we won't have to worry about that in heaven. And we sing pretty good. I know we could do better if we practice more, but we do pretty good. And when you go to a big gospel meeting and there's a lot of people there and the singing's that much better, and you go to something, a big crowd, you go to a lectureship or something, and there's hundreds of people, and the singing, oh, it's some wonderful singing. But we sing that song about when all of God's singers get home. What a song of delight. Oh, how beautiful that'll sound. And you know what? Those of us who struggle and can't carry a tune here on earth, I bet you when we get to heaven, we'll be able to sing. And we'll be able to sound good at it. We won't have to struggle and say, I just don't know how to sing. We'll be able to. We'll have a perfect spiritual body up there. We'll be able to do what God wants to do up there without anything to hold us back. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. John says, "After this I beheld a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." To worship God, to praise Him for all that He has done and all that He is. In chapter 15, in verses 2 and 3, he says he saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. To get to be there with that great multitude and to sing praises to God. To praise Him and worship Him. After we've gotten the victory over the beast. After we've gotten the victory over Satan. To get to be there. And to praise God who gives us the victory. To praise Jesus. To thank them. And finally, the eighth reason that I want to go to heaven is to rest. I know none of you have ever been tired. You're always well rested all the time, right? No, that's not the way it is here on earth. There are a lot of sleepless nights. There are a lot of long, hard days. But this is that we can look forward to. When we wake up on that morning, despite the fact that we won't get to sleep anymore, we'll be rested. We won't have to worry about being stressed out and tired and exhausted as we sometimes are here on this earth. And I know that's got to appeal to us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Even on this earth, as Christians, our souls can be more rested than others, even if our bodies aren't. Because we can know that we're doing what God wants us to do. Our souls can be at rest, at peace, because we know we're doing what's right. But in heaven, we'll add to that the fact that we won't have to worry about fixing supper. Won't have to worry about setting an alarm clock to get up. Won't have to worry about washing dishes or cleaning house or fixing the car or mowing the yard or whatever other task in addition to the regular routine of work, of the job. Won't have to worry about any of those things anymore. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. Paul says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." He's going to give us rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And notice if you have the King James, it'll say Jesus, but it's really Joshua. Jesus and Joshua. Jesus is the the Greek, with the translation of the Greek, and Joshua is the Hebrew, and so they put Jesus in the King James, but this really talking about Joshua when he led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. Well, even after he led them into the land of Canaan, a blessing for them, but they still had to work and they still had a lot of things going on. He says, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore. See, so we've got to work now. Jesus said, work while it is yet day, for the night is coming when no man works. We've got to work now. Labor now, so that we can enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And in Revelation 14:13, also, says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. There's a rest coming. Those are just eight of the reasons that I want to go to heaven, and probably could think of some more, but we're out of time. But you can probably think of some more. Make your list. Post that list up where you can see it every day and remind yourself why you're going through the struggles that you go through here on this earth. Because you want to get to heaven where you won't have to worry about those things anymore. Where you won't have to deal with that anymore. Got to make it through this, though. We've got to make it through the trials and the troubles of this life in order to get that rest. We've got to work here so that we can get there. If you're here and you have a need to respond, perhaps you haven't been living for heaven. You've been allowing things of this life to overwhelm you and to choke you out. Don't let that happen. What a shame to run the race and then fall away and not cross that finish line. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.